Welcome to Benign Chaos, where anything seemingly goes, but there might just be some meaning to it all. I'm half the voice of this journey. My name is Shelry.
And I'm the other half. My name is Angel.
Okay, so today's podcast is centered around Speed Racer the movie. And our idea is, how does Speed Racer exemplify the ideal of keeping to your goals through all obstacles, adversity, and challenges, as well as doubt from yourself and others? And I thought, since Angel has seen this so many times, she'd sum up the movie so that the listeners out there, probably a lot, who haven't seen Speed Racer might know and come to love the movie as much as we do.
Well, it's by the Wachowski brothers, who, I mean, I really like their stuff. And they want to stay true to the animation style of the old 60s animation. Old 60s Japanese animation, and that's why it has the look that it does. And they also want to make it look hyper real and like a cartoon. So that's your look and feel going on. And it's about Speed Racer and his family. They're very close family.
Now, was that different? Real quick, was that different than the cartoon with Pops, his actual father?
That's all from the cartoon. Now, Racer X, they changed a little bit. They knew that Racer X was his brother. In the movie, they don't know that Racer X is his brother.
Okay.
So they did change that. But I haven't seen all of the cartoon, the original cartoon. I've seen like maybe 6 or 7 episodes that my son has on DVD.
Okay. I haven't seen them in so long.
Yeah. No, the movie's much deeper than the cartoon.
Boy, okay.
So they took the cartoon, and I think they actually made it better. So many times they make a movie from a cartoon, and it really is as shallow as the original cartoon.
Right. Yeah.
But this one, I think they actually made a movie out of it, a really good plot, and the characters are excellent. The characters are deeper than the cartoon.
Okay.
I mean, they're really two-dimensional in the cartoon. You know,
yeah.
Speed's the good guy, Trixie's his girlfriend, Pops is the gruff but heart of gold dad, Spritel's the little mischievous one. You know, they're real.
And is Spritel his brother?
Yes, Spritel's his youngest brother. There's three brothers. There's Rex, who's Racer X, and Speed, and Spritel.
See, I was like, why do they keep having kids so far apart? Like, they skip that. They're like, okay, now you're 12, we'll have another kid.
Yeah.
That part was kind of weird, but I guess that's original, so.
But anyways, yeah, in the movie, and I don't know if it's the same in the cartoon. I've only seen like six cartoons. But in the movie, there's the World Racing League, which is kind of controlled by who they call the sponsors, which are the really the corporations that have all the money. And they use the races to make either their stock go up or down depending on what they want it to do. So it's the races are completely rigged by the corporations.
Okay.
And Inspector Detector and Racer X and Speed and Pops, actually all of the Racer family and Sparky, they're fighting the good fights.
Yes.
So that's the movie.
What I never really realized was that was Speed Racer, that's his real name. That wasn't like his nickname for his racing nickname. That's his name. Because his teacher called him that. And I'm like, they gave him that name? I mean, really? The kid had no hope of doing anything but.
That's right. Spritel, you know?
I guess Rex of the three, Rex had the best name.
And I'm sure, because if you look at the cartoon, he's got a little G on his little blue shirt. And if we were, you know, a little more into the anime, I'm sure it's his Japanese name, starts with a G, and that's what that is. I've always assumed that. That's a total assumption.
I never thought about it, but yeah.
I don't know enough about the anime, unfortunately.
The other thing I noticed that was kind of strange was that the family, none of them, including Speed, none of them had friends. It was just the family.
And Sparky.
And Sparky. Yep. Nobody else. Like the only friend
Trixie. Out
was Trixie. But outside of that, nothing.
Yeah, Sparky and Trixie. That's it.
Speed Racer had no guy friends at all. You'd think, you know, he'd have a lot because he's a racer and there'd be a lot of guys that thought that was cool but nothing.
It could have been done to simplify the story.
Probably.
Because I know that they did that in one of my favorite Jane Austen adaptations. Sense and Sensibility.
Uh-huh.
And I'm so bad with this.
Yes.
The older brother that inherited everything. In the book, him and his wife had a son.
Okay.
In the movie, they cut out the son to simplify the story.
Okay.
So, you kind of, I guess, focus. You've only got an hour and a half to focus on the characters.
Right. You can't like, create a whole realistic world. You have to just pull out points. That's true. So, okay. What do you think were some of the obstacles and goals that Speed had to overcome?
Well, the ultimate goal was they're trying to bring legitimacy back to racing.
Uh-huh.
Because the racing, all the races, every race was fixed.
Right.
And he had that whole Santa Claus isn't real moment when he finds out that racing isn't real.
When he was talking to Royalton.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you were talking mainly about doubting yourself, doubting others and doubting yourself as being the main obstacle.
That's a huge one, I think. I think it is the main one because it's so huge when you have doubt.
Mm-hmm. And I saw it when I was watching the movie. It happened twice. And in both times, actually, I'm sorry, there was three times. And in all three times, there was the time that he was talking with his mom. Is when when Royalton first said, "You're not going to win at Fuji. You're not even going to place. You're not even going to finish the race." And then, sure enough, he doesn't. And then there's litigation against the racer family. And then he has these doubts, and he says to his mom, "Maybe I should have signed with Royalton."
Uh-huh.
And then his mom helps him out. And then he has his other doubt when Tojo Khan. he was supposed to race with them, and they were gonna get Royalton.
Right.
Tojo Khan apparently was supposed to have this file on him, and they were gonna get Royalton. And then there was no file. He wasn't gonna get for any information. And he has his doubt there, and that's when his older brother, his Racer X, helps him out.
Right.
And then finally, when he's walking out the door, and then his dad says, "Can I talk to you for a moment?" So there's three moments of doubt, and all three times there's an older, wiser person
that helps out.
That gives him advice. Yeah.
Right. For me, that's the ideal, because it's really hard to overcome those doubts all alone. And to have somebody there and to tell you, like we were talking about the old wise person, like to tell you these things, it really helps. And I think they did a really good job of showing that.
Yes. The thing that I thought was interesting is even when he had all these people, he had all these obstacles they had to go against. He had three people that never, ever, ever doubted him, ever.
Mm-hmm.
And that was Trixie and his brother Rex and his mom. His dad had some doubts, but those three people through the entire movie told him how awesome he was and that he was on the right track.
Right.
And relating that back to real life, I was thinking, and I was going to present this question to you, how critical do you think it is to have people like that in your life that believe in you?
I think it's huge. And I think, yes, and I think when you don't have it, it makes the journey through life a lot harder. Not impossible, but a lot harder,
Mm-hmm.
Again, the whole old wise guy thing, I mean, as frustrating as they can be, they're kind of that rock that you lean on, and they're always there, and they have really constructive, positive things to say, as opposed to just suck it up or whatever, They
right.
Stop crying or, but Dad, right. I just got shot. Stop being a baby,
That's a John Wayne movie, right?
I think it might be. But, yeah, to have that person, sympathize with you but not be too easy on you.
Right.
I think they showed in Speed Racer, the people weren't just making him feel good all the time. They were challenging him to be better, but they were also there to support him when he could move on and be better.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's important if they were smart enough and wise enough to know not to just, coddle him, but to challenge him and still support him. Like when his brother Rex, I wrote this down because I thought it was good. when he was having that big talk with his brother, and he said, tell me why I should keep going. And he goes, I can't tell you that. That's what you got to figure out on your own.
Right.
And I thought that was awesome. I mean, he was supporting him, but he was telling him he also has to, you know, go out and face the hard fights on his own.
Right.
Figure it out.
I actually wrote that whole thing down because I thought it was interesting that you could replace words. If you're now the words you're going to replace the word racing and replace the word T180 with whatever is significant in your life.
Okay.
And Rex says, it doesn't matter if racing. Now you got to put your own thing in there.
Right.
It doesn't matter if racing never changes. What matters is if we let racing change us. Every one of us has to find our reason to do this. You don't climb into a T180. Now that's right. You got to replace that one. You don't climb into a T180 because you're a driver. You do it because you're driven. And then Speed says, if you know so much, why don't you tell me why I should keep driving? And X replies, sorry, that's for you to figure out.
Yeah, I love that.
And Speed,
and you're right, yeah.
You can put whatever you want in there. You know what? Why do I keep on being a stay-at-home mom? It's drudge work, and it's really hard work, and it's lonely. Why do you keep doing it? You know, you don't do this because to be a driver, you do it because you're driven.
Yeah, that's totally true.
So why are you doing it? Well, you've got to figure out yourself. Why are you doing it?
Yeah, you have to dig deep down to figure that part out. But yeah, I like that. I never thought about replacing it, although I can completely see that.
Mm-hmm.
I have the same thing with, you know, graduate school. Why do I stay at home and do a dissertation when I'm not making any money and, you know, like, and I'm alone and it's frustrating and boring and it's still, you know, a long path before it's over. I totally agree. You know, you got to find that in yourself. Why do you do these things?
But then also, I think it also goes back to, you know, why are you doing it? Are you driven? Or are you just doing it?
See, yeah. Yes. And I actually go through that. Sometimes I wonder. So I think there is that battle inside of you that you have to really figure out why you're taking this path.
And sometimes you find out, oh, you know what? I don't want to be on this path.
Yes. And that's really hard, too.
Especially if you're far away down it. And you've already got, like, 2 years in.
Yeah. Like if you were building a house, and like you got 3/4 of the way done, and you're like, ah, damn, I don't even want to live here. Yeah. Yes.
I wanted to bring something else up that I wrote down. When his mom is talking to him, she I love that entire scene. And then it's Susan Sarandon who delivers the lines.
Yeah.
And oh my gosh, she's just, there's some actresses and actors that deliver lines that they just make your heart beat.
Yeah, she's good.
She is. You give certain actors and actresses, you give them a good script, and they can
work magic.
They can. And I think that this was a good script. I think this was an excellent script, and that's why I'm so amazed that it was slammed.
Yes.
But she says, let me find it. She says, when I watch you do some of the things you do, I feel like I'm watching someone paint or make music. I go to the races to watch you make art, and it's beautiful and inspiring and everything that art should be. Even though there are times when I have to close my eyes, there are other times you just take my breath away. And to me, this brought up the whole idea of, because he's not painting and he's not making music. He's driving a race car. And it brought to me the whole idea, which you see all the time, the whole idea that life itself is art.
Mm-hmm.
That living is creation, and creation and living is art.
Yeah, and I think there are, you know, extrapolating from that, I think there are people you meet, they may not be famous, they may not be well known, they may not be successful in the way that a lot of people think of success, but they live their life in such an amazing way that I think their life is art. They're living life that way. And they're amazing people to know.
Yes, I agree. And you're right, because their life is inspiring and beautiful.
Yeah.
And everything that art should be.
Exactly.
But then I wonder, so I was writing this down, I was thinking about, what about the mundane? What about when you're doing dishes? Are you creating art when you're doing dishes?
I think you can be. I think there can be, you know, I think it's all about how you do it, not what it is. I would say that would be my guess.
I think so, too.
Because some of the things, when they were talking, you know, they're talking about driving. And a lot of other things people usually think about are going to be big things that lead you to ambitious goals.
Right.
Driving, he won the race, you know, he got a lot of fame from that. But there's a lot of things that you don't get any acknowledgement for that still can be beautiful just by doing them.
You have to give an example.
Well, like doing the dishes. If you really enjoy doing the dishes, let's say. You know, like, I actually like doing dishes. It's one of the few household chores that I actually like doing. And for me, just feeling the water and kind of zoning out and listening to the waterfall, it's really kind of zen-like, I guess.
That's, you know what? You're the third person I know that feels that way.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Matt's mother.
Uh-huh.
And me.
Uh-huh.
I remember one time you said you were talking about running, and when you run, you just relax and you go through your problems for the day, and it's kind of your therapy.
Patient, yes.
And that's how I feel about dishes.
Mm-hmm.
I just sit there and I do my dishes, and you do it. I think it's any kind of repetitive action.
Yes.
You do kind of go into this state where you just think about the day, and you think about what's going on, and you work through your problems. And next thing you know, your dishes are done, and you've worked through like three problems.
Yes, yeah. So I think in that way that can be, you know, a kind of a creative process. So that's just my take. Other people may not agree, but that's what I think.
And then also your idea of, you had mentioned that to get to the big race or whatever, to get to the beautiful home where your family is nurtured, you have to do the dishes.
Yeah.
To get to the big race, you don't ever see Speed Racer practicing, but there's got, well, I guess you do with his brother, but you know, you have there's the mundane,
the day in and the day out.
Yeah,
and so you have. I think you have to. It can't. We've talked about this before in a previous podcast. You can't. It can't always just be about the big goal at the end. You know, there has to be a thought into the journey and how you're going to get to that end from where you're at.
Yes. Yes.
They address that in this movie very well, but. That, you know, like you said, there's only an hour and a half, and you have to put so much in there, so you don't spend 10 minutes watching him practice on the track, you know.
There's a quote by Martina Navratilova, she said that the moment of victory is too short to live for that and nothing else.
Yes. I like that. I like that a lot. It's true.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's go back to Speed Racer, and I have to just say, some of this is so funny. Like, when they went to first visit Royalton's corporate headquarters or stuff, and they were showing the guys training, cracked me up.
Yes.
And the guy in the Arctic setting with penguins, he had to do a training for that was so funny. And then when they were doing the rally, some of the weapons they used, like they had a beehive.
Yeah.
A beehive.
Yeah. Well, I think that's, once again, the Wachowski brothers going back to being true to the original cartoon.
And I'm glad they put all those things in there. They were so fun. And I was just like, what, a beehive? Where did you get a beehive?
Or even the guys they got, the teams that they got the Barbarians, and they got the girls who love the diamonds, and also, I don't know if you noticed it, but when they got the guys, they gave them money, they had little money signs show up in their eyes.
Yeah. Oh, it was so awesome.
Yeah.
And then when their tires were fighting,
yeah,
shield and a thing, I'm like, you can't even see that. They couldn't even see it, but they're like controlling it. It was hilarious. I love it. That's one of the reasons I like this movie. It's fun.
Yes.
Even though I was talking about a serious topic, it was fun.
Yes. And the colors make it fun.
Oh.
And the way it was filmed.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
I like it. They'd have like people that were relevant to the scene, their faces would come across, and then the scene would change behind their faces. I like that, too. That was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed that when Speed was in a bad, bad place in his life during the movie, he'd always have dark clothes on. But when everything was going well, he wore the white pants and stuff.
No, I didn't notice that.
Yeah, I was like, whoa, that's weird. You know, there he is on all black. Hey, Speed, what's up? Like, his clothes are like a mood ring.
That's pretty funny. I like that. I think my clothes should be a mood ring. That is awesome. I get all the different clothes, and that's really fun.
Wait, I have to go change. I'm feeling a little blue now.
I think today's a yellow day. It's a happy, sunny day.
Yeah, see, that would be fun, and they did a good job with that. They also, when they came to the Royalton factory, you remember he was wearing that funky purple, the outfit he was wearing. It was very colorful and bright.
Oh, yes, yes.
But they came to his factory, and all his workers were, like, in really drab clothes. I think they were saying something about his work environment.
Talking about stuff like that, what I noticed was that the Wachowski brothers are not fond of blondes. There's like one or two blondes in the entire movie. This includes both male and female.
Really?
It isn't.
I didn't think about that.
Yes. There's like, I see two blondes. I know I saw one blonde. Everybody's brunette. Everybody.
Nice. Nice.
There's the occasional blonde.
Yes. Like nothing.
I'm like, oh, there's the token blonde. I see her.
Wow. So now if I ever watch another one of their movies, I'll have to look for that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it's in all their movies. I just noticed that last night when I was watching it.
Because maybe there weren't many blondes in the original cartoon.
You know, it could be. I mean, it was Japanese.
Yeah.
Some blondes over there.
Not too many.
What was I thinking of? There's something else I noticed. Oh, and I don't know if you noticed at the end, there was the whole comparing Wachowski movies. At the end, remember at like the end of The Matrix, the first movie, when he accepts that he's the one, there was that, I got that feeling at the end of Speed Racer 2.
Kind of that it all comes together when yeah, I felt like he was in a zen moment. I use that word again, but I don't know what else to say. Like, he just got it.
Yes.
And it all came together.
Yes. And to me, it was kind of like you're accepting who you are. This is who I am, and this is what I do, and this is what I'm here for.
Yes. Yep. And I think, you know, another obstacle he had to overcome that I think he did when, you know, he finally accepted who he was to not always be chasing his brother, to accept that he can be better. He can be this incredible person and let that go. Because I think, remember, he slowed down on that first race to let his brother keep his record. And I think he was always chasing the ideal of his brother and wanting his brother to stay in that place that he had him in his head. And I think when he let that go, then that was another point where he could accept who he was, you know. He could overcome that. And that's one of those inner doubts, I think.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think a lot of times we're both older children. I have an older brother, but it doesn't really count. We both have younger sisters, and so we're the older ones. But from understand, being a younger sibling, you do feel overshadowed by your parent. I mean, by your older sibling a lot.
Right. Maybe I don't, like you said, I never had that feeling.
I don't know. Yeah.
Oh.
We're the older kids.
Yeah, exactly.
Going by birth order.
So I here's a little aside on Speed Racer is his older brother ended up going to work for the corporation, right? And then he faked his death to get out of it. Is that what happened? I didn't get that part very well.
I'm not sure. At the beginning, I know he was going against. It was really hard to say because they did say he was working for the fixers there for a little while.
Right, but I think, like, I remember there was that bomb.
Right.
And he probably took into consideration his family.
Right. Well, my sister thought, and I thought this was a really good idea, and watching it, I think it does kind of support the idea, that the reason he did that is because by going against the big corporations and working with Inspector Detector, he would be putting his family in danger.
Right, so he faked his death.
Right, right. So,
but I would think that before he faked his death, he was working for them.
For Inspector Detector and the... I think
no, the corporations.
I think if he was working with them, I think it was undercover.
Okay, because I thought maybe he was just... Like, after that bomb, he decided... He initially thought the only way to protect his family is do what they want.
Oh.
Like, what Speed had a first thought when you know, they brought the litigation. Maybe I should have signed. So
right.
I thought that Rex did that initially, but then he got to the point he couldn't take it anymore and faked his death. But I don't know if that's true.
No, that's not what I got. I got the idea, especially because he told Speed they're going to say things about me and don't believe them.
Right.
And that's another thing I was going to say is that even Rex always believed in Speed, and Speed always believed in Rex, too.
Yes.
And anyways, I got the idea of the sense that he was already working, whether he was working with the corporations, he was already working undercover, that
okay.
he was already working against the corruption.
Okay.
And then to protect his family, he faked his death.
Okay. Got it. Yeah, they didn't go too much into that story, so it was kind of vague as to what really happened. So I wasn't sure. But, now I was thinking how sad it was for him because he didn't get to be part of his family anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that was everything to them, was family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I thought he looked better before the plastic surgery. So. Okay, so is there anything else that you can think of? Oh, I like Spryto and Chim Chim. I love their ninja fighting.
It was good, wasn't it?
I like
when the mom says, "Is this what the same nothing that broke my last couch?"
Yes, and you can tell that Spryto's probably not going to be a driver when he grows up.
No, to me, he reminded me of the father. Me, McCord and I were talking about that one time.
Uh-huh.
Was that the two older brothers were the drivers, and Spryto would be grow up to be like his dad and be a car designer.
Huh. Okay, I could see that. He was very he's a very smart kid.
Yeah, and he always was doing the split with his dad, you know, track split and so I thought Spryto was going to be a
I
car
could
designer.
See that. Yeah, cuz I definitely didn't see him as a driver. and what else? Oh, and I loved when the father fought the ninja. That was a great, fun fight scene.
For like a ninja. I did write down one more thing, and that's when his dad doubts him when he's doing that rally race. And I love also when the parents show up.
Yes.
Them.
You know, they feel yeah.
And his dad says you know, I'm going to go ahead and I'm staying. He's actually standing up to his dad. And if you watch when he says, we're leaving, and he stands up and he says, I'm not going to leave, I'm staying, and everyone's face, it's obvious that Pops is used to running the family, and people do what Pops says.
Yeah.
And he says, you think you can drive and, you know, change the world, and he says, it doesn't work like that. And Speed says, maybe not, but it's the only thing I know how to do, and I've got to do something. And that reminded me of a Theodore Roosevelt quote.
Yes.
Do what you can with what you have where you are.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. And, like, just expanding that, you know, I used to be of the mind that every time something bad happened in the world, I'd feel bad and want to jump on the bandwagon to change it. And then when we first went to school, there was a group, I think it was some environmental group, and they were all over the golden-cheeked warblers or something. Like, their habitat was being destroyed. And so, I gave some money, and I got the flyer, and I wrote to whatever. And I was really interested because it sounded very important. And I saw the same person who had got me interested from the group, and like 2 months later. And I said, so whatever, so how's this going? And he says, oh, I don't know. By the way, there's this thing we've got to do something about. And, and now what I realize is as bad as I feel about things and want them to change, I'm more likely to focus on a very local thing and help where I can, you know.
Right.
My own ways and not jump on the bandwagon for all these things. People are fickle and a lot of times they don't seem to be doing that much good. I mean, some groups do and they focus and they follow through, but there's a lot that are just, you know, flighty and where does that money go and where does the effort go and the energy and stuff? So I'm much more likely to do something local.
Well, we did the Valentine's podcast, and you were talking about going to your elderly neighbor's.
Uh-huh.
And you took her chocolate? Is that what you did?
Yeah, chocolate and wine and a card.
And that's awesome. That, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I'm going to use a big example.
Mm-hmm.
The Haiti just happened. And yeah. everybody, I love that everybody around the world gave and helped. And that's awesome. And we did too, Matt and I did too.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that you did something in your own apartment complex,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. That just seems very significant to me. And much more powerful.
I think the power in what I did comes from the fact that you actually are participating in what you're doing,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you get that interaction. So, like, if you go and you build a home for Habitat for Humanity, you're actually participating in something that, you know, you're actually doing something as opposed to just giving money.
Right, right.
And I also am a little wary of the whole giving money thing. As much as I would like to help in situations, I am much more likely to donate goods than I am money, because I've heard too many bad stories.
Yes.
About what happens to the money. It doesn't get where, you know.
Yeah, they did that on the news when after the Haiti earthquake, was that to beware scams.
Yes.
And they told you what to look for, you know, and they gave quite a few legitimate ones like the Red Cross and stuff like that.
Yeah, there was a gentleman in my seminary program that he's from Haiti, and he was there when it all happened, and he managed to he's a really amazing person, and he managed to get some emails out to us, and he was telling people, you know, I don't know what's going on all over the place, but I can tell you these are the groups that I see actually doing something at this point. So, you know, yeah, I guess you just have to be careful.
Yeah.
And, you know, Steve told me his interaction with a group that would fly donations to places. And he said that, yeah, they did deliver things, but, you know, the guy was making like $1 million a year.
That's insane.
Yeah. So I don't know.
Yeah.
So anyway, on a more positive note.
I think this topic's a little more serious than last topic.
I think that it was great that Speed said that, because he was doing what he knew how to do in an area that he could do something.
Right, right.
Regardless of the outcome, he was just doing his best to do something.
Yes, and yes. I liked that a lot. Mm-hmm. And then I guess that was it. The father said some really good stuff, but unfortunately I don't think much of it applies to me. So it's kind of interesting when you watch a movie,
mm-hmm.
the stuff that makes sense in your life is the stuff that you take.
Right.
And the other stuff just kind of goes over your head. It's kind of like watching Grease when you're a kid. You know,
yeah.
You don't get those double entendres at all.
No.
And
you got to keep that in mind when kids are watching stuff. They're probably not getting it at all.
I watched Grease. I loved Grease. Everybody did when you're a kid. And then I watched it when I was an adult. I was like, oh, my gosh.
I know. That, when they were making the car and they were doing that song. That was a...
Oh, the whole thing had sex all through it, and I had no idea.
No, I was clueless.
And that's what I feel about there's, because Pops is talking about, you know, it comes, there's a time in everybody's life when you, the child has to leave home. And I didn't really have that happen in my life. And he also talks, you know, I watched my son become a man. Once again, I don't think that really applied to me. But I did like what he said about, this is after the rally race, and they were supposed to, they're supposed to get information on Royalton that would put Royalton away. But then Taijo Togekon did not give them the information. So
right.
Speed, this is another moment of doubt. Speed feels like it was useless. And Pops is saying, I couldn't have been more proud of you, son, talking about the rally race. Not because you won, but because you stood up, you weren't afraid, and you did what you thought was right. And Speed says it didn't amount to anything. It was completely meaningless. And Pop says, how could it be meaningless? I saw my son become a man. I watched him act with courage and integrity. This is not meaningless. Anyways, I thought that was really
Aww.
Good. Yeah.
I just had goosebumps there. No, I think that's awesome. I think that's a wonderful thing to say, because, you know, throughout the movie, Pops is a really strong character, but he also is, of all the ones, he's the one that shows a little bit of jaded cynicism. So he brings that into it. And for him to put that aside and build up Speed's, build up his confidence because he did the right thing.
Right.
As opposed to just saying, yeah, son, well, life sucks, and they're always going to win anyways. He found that the positive in it, and something I particularly agree with, so.
Right, that even though your act didn't have the outcome that you wanted, the act itself had meaning.
Right. And it back to the whole, it's the journey, not the goal.
Yes. It's the climb. Okay.
And he's becoming the person that can be this great person by going through all of this.
Right. And the thing that I thought was interesting is actually Pops goes through a transition. Because when Rex leaves, he says, don't bother coming back. And so when it's Speed's turn to leave, I love what he says to Speed. Where is it at?
Yeah, that was a great scene because you know that he spent his whole life regretting saying that.
This is what he says. And I love this. You'll never know how much I regret that mistake, letting Rex go and telling Rex don't ever come back.
Right.
Because he says he lets Rex think that that Racer Motors means more to him than Rex does.
Right.
He says, you'll never know how much I regret that mistake. It's enough that I'll never make it again.
Yeah.
And I really like that because I have done that. And the one that springs to mind is when my dog died of cancer, and I couldn't bear to see her dead, and so they were going to put her to sleep, and they said, do you want to hold her? And I said, no, I can't watch her. I can't see her dead. And they took her away and injected her and put her to sleep.
Yeah.
Huge regret. One of the biggest regrets of my life. And ever since then, I will be with someone. Matt's aunt was passing, and she was very altered, and people were having a hard time going to see her because she was so altered. And
right.
We have got to go see her. It doesn't matter if it's hard to see her, because I had learned from my dog. And I tell people that, I said, even when she's dying, my dog was still teaching me.
Yes.
Yeah. and that's what it is. I regretted it so much, I'll never make that mistake again.
Yep, I totally agree with you. I have the same thing when my mom passed away, and except I made the choice to stay because I wasn't there for a dog as well.
Same thing.
Yeah, I let other people be there because I was going through a crazy time in my life, and I made that choice. And what they did was they took the dog out to its favorite park, then got it like fast food and everything before they took it to the vet. And I was so sad that I wasn't there for years and years later. So, you know, I learned for when my mom was there to be through the whole process.
Right.
You know, and it's amazing what you learn. And if you don't go through it, you can't comprehend it. I mean, it's like you intellectually know it, but you can't know it.
Right. You have to make the mistake not to make the mistake again.
Yes. And in another movie that I really like, Contact, there's a scene at the very end after she's had, you know, her and Matthew McConaughey kind of had this on again, off again thing, that he was very spiritual and religious, and she was completely anti that. So when she would ask him these questions and he said something like, well, it was just experience that I had that changed me, that made me religious. I can't explain it. All I know is that it was profound and had this impact on me. And she'd always be like, whatever, silly religious guy. And then she had that when she was the one sent out on that ship they built.
Right.
And they had no recording what she went through, and she had this amazing experience. And when she was in front of the Congress or whatever giving her testimony, she said, you know, she looked at him and she goes, I can't explain it. All I can say is I had this profound experience. It changed me, you know.
Right.
And until she went through it, she couldn't understand what he was talking about.
Right. Right.
So, yeah. I think that's, you know, it's very cool to realize that. And, you know, and even though you may not know, you know, you may not have the exact same experience as somebody else, and so without going through it, you can't. The more experiences you have, the more you can empathize.
Mm-hmm.
And at least be open to what other people went through.
Right. Yes, I agree. We are so, this is going to be the longest podcast we've put up. This is probably, I'd say, 45, 50 minutes.
We're kick ass.
Should we wrap it up, do you think?
Yeah. So I think we did a good job dissecting Speed Racer and how profound it is. How fun it is. It's so fun.
It is. And honestly, it has to be, I don't know. I think it's, how can you dissect a movie that wasn't well written? I think it was really well written.
I think it was great. I just don't, and this is just my opinion. It's an opinion. I really think that this type of content people aren't as open to. There's a lot of things that have this content, not a lot, but there are some that I like that a lot of people just, you know, if they were all done well, it's just that the content I think isn't
right.
The mainstream, you know, like I don't look at Rex when I go down the road, but there's a lot of people who, you know, and so I think it's just the mainstream is, it's more, I mean, that's why there's so many reality TV shows that are, I'm sorry, but they're crap.
Yeah.
But they're popular.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and, you know, I'm going to say, another movie I would put into the same category, Speed Racer, that I love, that wasn't well received, is Josie and the Pussycat.
I haven't seen that.
I love that movie, and it's so funny. It's the same type of thing. It's kind of bright, not quite as colorful, but pretty colorful. And they're making fun of, they do a lot, good job of making fun of, like, marketing and all that, and it's them trying to stick to their goals through all this craziness.
Okay, I'll have to watch Josie and the Pussycats.
Maybe we'll do that movie sometime in the future.
Okay.
It's so awesome. It's the same thing. It's silly and goofy and wonderful, and they did a great job.
Okay, so from now on, we're always sticking to movies like Josie and the Pussycats, Speed Racer, and we're staying away from things like The Color Purple. The things that are obvious for dissection.
Yes, things that are like, and probably like done to death.
Oh, that's true. I'm sure there's thesis written on.
Yeah. I'm sure no thesis on speakers.
So it's okay. We can do a little podcast.
Yes, exactly.
There's no, nothing we can be compared to.
No. All right. Well, I'm happy with this, and you?
Yes, I'm happy. All right.
Okay. That's it.
Thanks again for joining us on Benign Chaos as we take a rambling journey through the universe. I'm Shalri.
And I'm Angel.
And we bid you adieu.
Sayonara.
Arrivederci.
Ciao.
And farewell. Until next time.